You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 13, Episode 4 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This season, we're focusing on various social issues. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about transgenderism. Let's get started. Transgenderism has become a hot topic lately, to put it lightly. It's often grouped together with homosexual causes, the LGBT movement. The T there is for transgender or transgenderism. However, when we hear about transgenderism, it's really not about sexuality so much as it is about identity. Homosexuality is an attraction to those of the same sex or of the same gender. Transgenderism is about how one identifies himself or herself. And those who argue on behalf of transgenderism claim that these individuals are simply being true to themselves and that the sex that they were assigned at birth is different from who they are inside or how they identify themselves. And they claim that this is not a choice for them. For example, sometimes we think about the stereotype of a cross-dresser, and that's what we think of with transgenderism. A man who wears woman's clothes might choose to do that, but they say that's not what this is. This is about they are something different. They identify differently than who they are. And so it's more than just, well, this is a choice. They don't believe it's a choice. They believe that this is just what they are. This is just who they are. And so that's kind of what we're looking at when we talk about this issue of transgenderism. Now, before we get into some Bible passages that relate to this, I want us to set the stage to kind of get an idea of what we're talking about and the scope of this issue and kind of some other things surrounding it. One statistic I found said that approximately 1.4 million individuals identify as transgender in the United States. Now, this is roughly 0.6% of adults in the United States are identify themselves as transgender. And a study conducted in 2015 found that 41% of young adults ages 18 through 24 have at least one transgender acquaintance. Now, this should give you an idea as to how much this has grown in visibility or in popularity or just how many more people are identifying in this way. I'm not that far removed from the 18 by 24 group. I don't think of myself as young anymore. But I'm not quite 40 yet. I'm still in my 30s. And I don't know anyone. I don't have an acquaintance that is transgender. At least not that I know of. But here, this survey found that of 18 to 24-year-olds, so college-age students or just at the end of high school, and young adults, they have at least one acquaintance that is transgender. And so just in those who are 15 years, 20 years younger than I am, they, 40% of them know someone and are aware of someone who is transgender. And for someone like me, I can't say that I know anyone like that. It shows how much this has grown over the last several years. Also, another statistic that we need to keep in mind is that about 63% of teens who claim to be transgender have previously been diagnosed with at least one mental health disorder or neurodevelopment disability. Now, there's an effort to try to not classify transgenderism as a mental disorder. However, even though you have this effort to say that, well, transgenderism is not a mental disorder, the majority, and not just a slim majority, 63% of teens, and again, this is the group that's largely becoming identifying themselves as transgender because 41% of 18 to 24-year-olds know someone who's transgender or identifies as transgender. And now here's the ones who are just a little bit younger than that. The teens, high school age students. Those who claim to be transgender have previously been diagnosed with at least one mental health disorder or neurodevelopment disability. So even when they want to say, when they want to not classify transgenderism as a disorder, the reality is almost two-thirds of them, of these kids, have already been diagnosed with something else, some other mental health issue. And what is even more alarming was that the attempted suicide rates of transgender adolescents are much higher than the suicide rates of other adolescents. Roughly 50% of transgender females, 40% of what's called gender non-conforming teens, which means they claim to be neither exclusively male or female, and 30% of transgender males, they have all attempted suicide. And so you think about this issue in this topic and the push to accept this. Not only do you have this high number from 30 to 50%, they have attempted suicide. 96% of transgender teens engage in some form of self-harm. So it may not be attempted suicide, but they are engaged in some other type of self-harm. 96%. And there's an effort today in our society, a diligent effort by our society to normalize this and to say that, well, this is not a problem, this is not an issue, this is just who people are. But when the reality is, what we're seeing here with these statistics is that this is not normal, that there is some other issue, that there's something that is not right with these individuals, that they are harming themselves, they are attempting suicide or contemplating suicide, they have other mental problems. This is not something that is a normal thing. Normal teenagers do not just commit suicide or attempt suicide at such high rates or engage in self-harm at such high rates. And so this ought to be a big red flag. Those who want to say that, well, we're just trying to be accepting, we're just trying to be helpful, we're trying to do this, and by just ignoring this issue and just saying, well, that's just who they are, what they are actually doing is preventing them from getting the help that they desperately need so that they can avoid what happens to so many of them, where they're harming themselves, many of them attempting suicide because they're not getting the help that they need. Now, this is where we are in our society. This issue was almost, I wouldn't say unheard of, but really not really talked about that much just a few years ago. And now this is the next big thing. This is the next thing that people are pushing. I want us to, after we've talked about these statistics, which by themselves, before we even get to what the Bible says, just the statistics by themselves ought to throw up a big red flag to us that there is a problem here. But we're not just going to look at statistics and talk about those. We want to talk about what the Bible has to say. And so there are a few things I want us to notice, a few passages for us to look at. Number one, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we see that God made people male and female. Genesis 1, 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. God, in the beginning, created two individuals. They were of two distinct genders. There was a male and there was a female. That is how God made them. As we talked about in the lesson on abortion, Psalm 139 tells us that God is attributed with the forming of life, forming of individuals in the womb. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. The psalmist said, "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." God there is being credited as the one who creates life in the womb. That the psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." God was the one who formed his inward parts and wove him together in his mother's womb. We saw in Genesis 1:27 that God created male and female. And when God forms life in the womb, that life is either male or female. And also, back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, we see there that God says in Genesis 2:18 that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And it goes on from there and talks about that he made woman. God had a reason in the beginning for creating two distinct genders. And next week, we're going to talk more about this, where God has shown in his word that there are different roles for males and females. So we're going to talk about gender roles next week, as our society has some different ideas about that. But God had a reason for creating two distinct genders. God created a woman to be the helpmeet or the helper suitable for the man, a male and a female. God created two distinct genders. Also, what's interesting, over in Deuteronomy chapter 22, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, there's a law that's given in the law of Moses about those who would try to present themselves as being belonging to the other gender. Males who would present themselves as being women, women who present themselves as being men. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it says, "A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God." All the way back when the law of Moses was given, God indicated to the people that women, they were to present themselves as women. Now, they didn't have the surgeries that can happen today or the hormone therapies and things like that that people can go through to try to make it look like they are more male than they are or more female than they are. They didn't have those. They didn't have that type of technology then, but they did have clothing. They could wear clothing that the males could wear women's clothing, women could wear men's clothing. The law said, do not wear men's clothing if you're a woman, or wear woman's clothing if you're a man. You are to present yourself as who you are. You are to present yourself as either a woman or a man. And so that we see that in the law of Moses. But one of the main points that we need to remember about all of this is that those who argue in favor of transgenderism, or to say that, well, this needs to be accepted, this needs to be celebrated, or this needs to be embraced, whatever, however they want to word that, they'll say, well, these individuals, they are just being true to themselves. This is how they identify themselves. And so although their physical body might be a male body or a female body, on the inside, they identify as something different. They feel as though they are really a woman if they're a man, or the other way around. They feel like they're a man if they're a woman. The scriptures warn us, and it's not just about this issue, but it comes down to a lot of different applications. But there is a warning in the scriptures, in the Old and the New Testament, that we are not to trust what we think. We're not to trust what we feel or what our heart tells us. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Those who claim to be transgender say, "Well, that's just who I am. I'm just being true to who I am." The scripture says the heart is more deceitful than all else. We might feel one way or another, but reality is something different. You can have someone that for whatever reason, and there might be different reasons, might be different factors that come into this. You might have a man who, for whatever reason, he just really thinks he's a woman. He feels like he ought to be a woman. He doesn't feel like he fits in with the men. He feels like he ought to be a woman, that he identifies as a woman. And there may be lots of different reasons why he thinks that way, why he feels that way. But that doesn't make him a woman. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" In the New Testament, we can look at a passage like Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 in verse 17, when the Lord was addressing the church at Laodicea, and they had an idea of who they were. Now, it had nothing to do with their gender, but they had a picture of who they were. They identified a certain way. Revelation 3 and verse 17, "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He was talking about their spiritual condition there. But the reality is, as we look at that in a application, we see that they saw themselves in a certain way. They saw themselves as being one way, and the Lord said, "No, you are something else." The Lord saw them for who they really were. It didn't matter what they thought of themselves. It didn't matter how they viewed themselves. God saw them as who they were. And so the bottom line, as we wrap all of this up, when we think about the transgender issue, God made people male and female. He did that at the beginning, and from that point forward, when life is created in the womb, it is either male or female. And there might be various factors that lead some individuals to feel like they are different from their biological gender. But that does not change how God created them and the roles and responsibilities that they have as a result of that. And again, we'll talk about that more next week. But God made all of us as either male or female. And rather than saying that, well, if someone thinks something different, if someone thinks they're really a woman, really a man, really whatever, well, that must be what they are. No, the heart is deceitful above all else. We need to trust God. We need to trust what He has made rather than following our heart into believing something that just is not so. And one thing that needs to be remembered in all of this is that those who identify as transgender, going back to the statistics that we talked about, this is not just some inconsequential issue that well, you know, that's what people think, that's what they identify themselves as, and well, no big deal. That, yeah, maybe that's wrong, but it's, you know, no harm. Now, the statistics show us that this is a dangerous mentality to have, that those people who are engaged in this need help. And it doesn't help to just sweep this under the rug. It doesn't help to just say, well, they're just being true to themselves. We need to make sure we're not silent about this issue and what the Bible teaches. We need to teach the truth. We need to try to lead people to the truth. Because the only way someone can have peace and have hope is by following God and doing things His way. And we need to point out what that way is. And that's by being true to how He made us and be by being obedient to him and following his will in all things.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
Before we go, I wanted to let you know that one of my books that I've written is on sale for a limited time. It's a book called The Real Pharisees. This book examines the Pharisees that we read about in the Bible, in the New Testament, that were active during Jesus' time on earth in the first century. The book examines who they were, why they were wrong, and how we can avoid being like them today. So if you'd like to learn more about the book and take advantage of the special offer, it's limited time, is available. There's a link in the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast. You can find the link to this episode, and there'll be a link to that book where you can check that out. Next week, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about gender roles and the different ideas that our society has on that. So until then, I hope you have a great week.